away a few months prior to last Tuesday's house fire. Torch Darling lived in the house by himself and hadn't worked in a long time, according to neighbors. He was also almost completely blind, they said, and seemed to have psychological problems. Officials are investigating whether there was a third victim present at the time of the house fire. There are traces of a possible third party involved, Blackwell said. Whether they started the fire and then fled the scene is uncertain. We're still investigating the area. Blackwell also reports that his crew has uncovered a very peculiar imprint of a large bird seared into the remnants of the house. Neighbors report that before his passing, Henley Darling purchased a rare bird from an exotic pet shop in the Boston area. Although the bird's remains have not yet been recovered, it's presumed that the creature perished in the fire as well. Diary entry written by Rupert Cromwell. March 26, 2004. I don't wish to confess anything to you. A confession implies that there's a semblance of guilt to be felt. A pang of humiliation to be tolerated for the sake of proper contrition. It implies I should crave to be absolved, to be forgiven for what I am, all I've done. I'm here to tell you there's nothing in this world that deserves my shame, my reflection, or my disgrace. Perhaps once I might have deceived you and told you that I felt such embarrassment for how I've been perceived by others. Yes, even by people who claimed that they loved me. I might have told you how I owed them an explanation for my strangeness. I might have told you how I would give anything to bring them the honor they so rightfully deserve, the integrity that only a young man can offer his family. But such a statement would be utter trickery. I cannot bring myself to tell you those things and make you think that I believe I'm at fault, that I'm some lowly, reprehensible thing, undeserving of the grace of a gentler person's forgiveness. I have spent so many years attempting to be tender in a world that will never understand softer languages like quietness, compassion. Perhaps once the world might have indulged in those kinds of whims, but it utterly refuses them now. Probably because soft things are easy to break. Moreover, soft things are so pleasing to break. It makes you feel like a stronger, more powerful person. That's how everyone wants to feel. Especially when things seem so uncontrollable. We all want to feel as though we have the upper hand. That we have somehow evaded the callous, careless deity presiding over human affairs and have instead found meaning or purpose in all this exquisite pointlessness. I regret to tell you there's nothing really to be found there. It's an empty sacrifice. There's nothing in this world that has meaning or shares any value. I've already been taught that human life holds no significance. It's sad to think how a corpse is very often worth more than a living thing. At least there's some value left in a dead body, however little, however insignificant. But what becomes of us when even the dead have little meaning? Perhaps that's when the world finally and truly rots. Either way, I'd give anything to watch this godforsaken place burn to the ground. Rupert Cromwell. December 2003. It's early in the morning. The dim whisper of a bloodshot sunrise leaking through the closed shutters like dark red smoke. 2 days after Christmas, when Rupert Cromwell's father bursts into his bedroom and informs his son that a backwards miracle has occurred. At first, Rupert thinks he's dreaming. His father never barges into his room, especially without the decency of knocking first. Rupert stirs a little, pulling the bedsheets tighter and up over his head to block out some of the light leaking in from the hallway. But his father won't relent. Instead, he leans closer to him with a desperation that Rupert can sense, like when his father is caught in a lie. His father repeats himself once more, but Rupert doesn't answer. Instead, he's lost and unbound somewhere in the enchanted realm of twilight that bewitches the alert and conscious. In his dreamlike stupor, Rupert wonders what he was imagining that was too difficult to part with when his father first interrupted. Perhaps he was dreaming of the